You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Brought to you by Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Create your account now at premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264. Premier Bet, win big, win now.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another great edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. As usual, I am your host, Handy. I will be with you until 8 p.m. this evening. Another great edition of the Eagle Sports Zone coming to you live from our studio in Windhoek. And today on the Eagle Sports Zone, brought to you by Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Use promo code Namibia264 to create your account now at www.premierbet.com.na. Or just.com, sorry. To create your account now and win big. And today on the Eagle Sports Zone, we are talking about African football blogs. We're gonna discuss the power of this, okay, not so new age media, but fairly new age media, especially in the African context. And we're gonna talk to two creators of the biggest blogs on the continent. Southern African region in particular, and that is none other than Silas Timotheos as well as Tami Mshengu. Silas runs the famous Footy Namibia blog, or page rather, and Tami runs the famous Tami Soccer all the way from South Africa. So we'll have a Namibian who started a major blog, a South African who started a major blog. They're going to give us their journey. They're going to give us their insights as to why they created these great platforms, these great mediums for us to consume African football content. And they'll be with us in a few moments live on your favorite talk radio station. And speaking of your favorite talk radio station, if you haven't already, make sure to download the Eagle FM mobile application that is free to download for you on the Google Play Store and the Apple App Store. Simply type in Eagle FM Namibia and you'll be able to tune in to your favorite talk radio station. Wherever you are in the world, whether you're in South Africa, like Tami, I'm sure Tami's listening right now in South Africa, whether you're in Japan, whether you're in the USA, whether you're in Mexico, now if you're going to go to the World Cup, don't worry, you can listen to Eagle FM on the Eagle FM mobile application in the USA, in Canada, in Mexico, 24/7. And on the Eagle FM mobile application, you will see a nice digital rotating billboard that has all kinds of information for you to engage with, all kinds of statistical reports, reports from the Bank of Namibia, reports from the World Economic Forum, reports from the AU. Anything you need to become a smarter citizen of the world will be available for you on the Eagle FM mobile application. And if you want to call in the studio whilst you're listening to the Eagle FM mobile application, don't worry, you don't even have to dial our studio number, which is 0832-888-401. And that's 0832-888-401. You won't have to dial it if you are using the Eagle FM mobile application, because there's a call button for you in the top right corner that you can make easy use of. And alternatively, if you are listening, or if you would like to listen to us from your computer, whether that's your laptop, whether that's your iPad, whether that's your desktop, then simply head to our website. That's www.eaglefm.com.na. And just like on the mobile application, there is a nice podcast section for you. So if you missed last week's episode of the Eagle Sports Zone, if you maybe missed the episode from last year, or any other show on Eagle FM's roster of programs, you can catch up in the podcast section and you can listen to your favorite show. Maybe you want to listen to a show you already listened to, you want to listen to it again. There's a specific part you're looking for, then head to the podcast section. It will be there available for you. Another application that you should download is the Imba mobile application. That is the world's number one digital hymn book. So if you're at a funeral, you're going to church, you're at a baby shower, at a confirmation, wherever it is that you sing hymns, and we're talking about hymns in English, we're talking about hymns in Oshiwambo, we're talking about hymns in Afrikaans, in Oshiherero, in German, in Portuguese, in Silozi, in Shona, and a few other languages. They are all available for you in the Imba mobile application. Type in IMBA on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store, the app with the blue icon, free to download, and you will have access to all your favorite hymns in the palm of your hand. And make sure to become a premium subscriber so you can get access to some great, great premium features. Now, as usual, we have a trivia question. Today's trivia question is more of an open-ended question. There's no real correct answer. All you have to do is call in and tell me, do you follow or subscribe to any football blogs? They don't have to be African. They can be international ones as well, but I just want to know. Are you subscribed to any football blogs? Do you follow any football blogs? Then tell me which ones it is. Maybe it's a European one that I need to subscribe to as well. But either way, you can call in. The number in the studio is 0832-888-401. And let's get straight into it to our very first segment, which is the score segment.
Who won? Who scored? What was the final score? The Eagle Sports Zone Score Roundup is brought to you by PremierBet Namibia Totes. Visit PremierBet.com and use promo code Namibia264 to sign up and win big now.
Yes, we're going to start the PremierBet Score segment, and we're going to start with futsal. The Namibian National Futsal Team played a AFCON qualifier against Kenya over in the Dome in Sokomunda. Namibia took that one 8-4 over Kenya in the first leg of the 2026 Futsal AFCON qualifiers. As I said, the fixture took place at the Dome. At the Dome over in Sokomunda. And the second leg will take place in Kenya, in Nairobi to be specific, on the 28th of January. So, our national team doing well in the opening fixture. In the opening leg, excuse me. Hopefully, they will be able to see that through when they travel to Kenya. Let's take a listen to the coach of the futsal team. That is Mr. Marcos Antunes, and the captain of the side, Ken Salote. Marcos is the newly appointed coach. He was just appointed around a week ago, and he will be tasked with leading our national futsal team, hopefully to some international glory. But let's take a listen to coach as well as the captain of the side, Ken Salote, what they had to say to the media following their 8-4 victory over the East Africans, that is Kenya.
This was a good feeling because I'm very confident because I start to know very well my players. And I know what the moments that I have to make some corrections to then give me what I want. It's a difficult game. We play against a difficult team. But I think there's no discussion about the result. And we go into Nairobi with the same attitude, with the same feeling that passed to score goals and win in Nairobi.
It was a good game. It was an intense game. The game was very intense. It was up and down. We were all running, and the boys were motivated. Yes, we conceded some goals, but then we lifted our heads up. We gave it all. We fought, and the results can tell it all. We all can expect definitely a win, as the plan was to finish here in Namibia, which the result can tell. We won 8-4. So in Kenya, they were just going to finalize where they started. We are going to take one game at a time.
This was a good feeling because I'm very.
There was Coach Marcos as well as Captain Ken Salote giving us their thoughts after the 8-4 victory over Kenya. Over in Sokomunda in the Dome. Moving on now to cycling. Moving on to cycling, where the Nedbank Windhoek Pedal Power Series continued this weekend, this time at the Dobra Loops. This was the third installment of the Pedal Power Series for the year. And probably to no one's surprise, Dickus won for the men. And over on the women's side, these are the elite categories now we're talking about. We had the young phenom, that is Delcia Janssen van Vuren, Let's take a listen to what they had to say after their victories this morning. We'll start with Dricus and then head over to Delcia.
So it was a good race, good weather conditions today. We had a few stronger teams than last weekend, which was good to see. The first two laps, 30 kilometers, were nice and hard, hard tempo. All the teams tried, you know, tried something and closed the gaps, and it was good racing. And then about 30 kilometers in, I saw my opportunity and I took it. I got a gap and I knew I just needed to hold it to the end. I knew it was far to go, it was 80 k's to go. But luckily I know my capabilities over that distance. And overall it was a good race, a good, very good start to the series. Last weekend success and this weekend success. And now I'm looking forward to heading over to Rwanda on Thursday and starting the 1,000 kilometers race across Rwanda on Sunday, the 1st of February.
And maybe you can run us through the race in Rwanda. How prepared are you for it, and what is it all about?
Yeah, so Rwanda will be a big challenge. I see the rain is forecast, so it's very clay, very muddy. It's a 1,000 kilometers race with 18,000 kilometers climbing. So Rwanda is they're not called the land of the 1,000 hills for nothing. Will be up and down the whole time. My preparation has been perfect. I'm in very good form for ultra like that. And I hope if everything goes well, obviously I'll go there and try to win at the first international ultra and start off the ultra here as well on a good note. The competition will be tough. I'll be up against Benedict, who was second at the Atlas Mountain Race last year. King Ted will be there, the winner of last year as well. Ulrich Bartlomeos from Germany will be there. He came second in the year where I passed out at the Atlas Mountain Race. So the competition will definitely be tough, but I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to two nights of grueling grinding till the end over those years of Rwanda.
And apart from the
Rwanda
race, what other race can we expect Patrikas to compete in this year?
Yeah, so I've got three ultras planned for the ultra season. It will be Rwanda, it will be race across South Africa in April, and it will be the Rhino Run over 3,000 kilometers in October. And then locally, I'll definitely come back from Rwanda to the national championships in 2 weeks' time, the road race. I unfortunately won't be here for the time trial on the Friday. I'll still be on my way back. And then on the local scene, I'll race as much as possible. You know, every weekend if there's a race, I'll be there if it doesn't intervene with the ultra races. So it was a good race, good.
Yes, that was Dricus Kutsia, one of Namibia's best cyclists after winning the third of Nedbank Winning Pedal Power Series, his second victory of the season after winning the second one last weekend. Let's take a listen to what Delcia had to say.
So today was very, it wasn't hard, but Umyaku and myself on the start line, we were like, okay, let's spice things up and just go from the gun. And at first I was like, we have to do 7 laps, I'm gonna die. And we managed to break away the first lap, and then I was just like, okay, no, this is gonna be way too hard to manage this for 7 laps. And then we just kept our pace, but brought it down a little bit, and then the bunch caught us, and I just sat and I did do my turns in the bunch. And then there were a few breakaways, but then the men did throw them down again. And Hans also told me he wants to make it as hard as possible going over the climb. And that was Anri's goal as well. And then unfortunately she got her front flat, I think like 3 or 4. So then she wasn't in the bunch anymore, which was quite sad. And then on the last lap I knew it was going to be super tough. Then Hans just went, sat on his wheel, and then Marcel took the win. And then I was second overall and first in the lead ladies.
Well, but with the cycling season just starting now, what does this mean for you, and what plans do you have that is for the season?
So these races I actually just take as training. That's why sometimes I would do a stupid breakaway, which is just so unnecessary. But for me, I'm just taking it as training. And so for the season ahead, I'm gonna do the SA Cup at the end of February, and then cycle tour beginning of March. And then also local races here, some races in South Africa, and then maybe I'll go to Europe for World Champs.
That was Delcia and Dricus giving us their thoughts after the Nedbank Winning Pedal Power Series Volume 3 that took place at the Dobra Loops this weekend. Today, actually. Now, moving on to the ICC Under-19 Cricket World Cup currently taking place in Zimbabwe and Namibia, where this morning, or afternoon rather, you had a powerhouse fixture between Australia, who are the defending champions, and the Proteas, that is South Africa, taking place at the FNB Namibia Cricket Ground. Australia won that one by 6 wickets and thus eliminated South Africa. And thus eliminated South Africa and continued their journey to defend their title. On Saturday, you had Japan taking on Tanzania in the 15th and 16th place playoff, and Japan actually got their first victory in Under-19 World Cup history, to my surprise, over Tanzania, by beating them by 9 wickets. And Namibia will host one more fixture in this tournament, and that will be Afghanistan against Sri Lanka tomorrow at the FNB Namibia Cricket Ground in the capital city. Now on the... we'll take a short musical break, and then after that we'll get in touch with our first guest of the day. That'll be Silas, Mr. Silas, who runs the famous, the, almost said world famous, the continentally famous Footy Namibia. And he will give us some insight into his story. How did Footy Namibia start? I know a lot of our listeners are aware of Footy Namibia, so that'll be a interesting conversation to hear. But first, we'll take a brief musical break. And then we will get in touch with our man, Silas.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Brought to you by Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Create your account now at premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264. Premier Bet, win big, win now.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone, brought to you by Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Now, before we get in touch with our first guest, let's run through some CAF Champions League scores. Some CAF Champions League group fixtures took place over the weekend. We had Al Ahly up against Young Africans. Al Ahly taking that one at 2-0. Sundowns up against Al Hilal. That was actually, well, at least on paper, it was a Namibian showdown with Peter Shalulile and a Proteus representing each side. That fixture ended 2-2, and actually, it was only Petrus, Brave Warriors player, who played in that fixture. Shalulile wasn't even in the match squad, actually. I believe he's actually still coming back from injury. But that one ended 2-2. That one ended 2-2. Then we had Power Dynamos against Rivers United. That one ending 0-0. Esperance against Simba. Esperance, they won 1-0. Kabila and AS Far played to a 0-0 draw. RS Berkane and Pyramids played to a 0-0 draw. And Sant Lupopo and MC Alger played, Sant Lupopo took that one 1-0 actually. And right now we have Stade Malien against Petro de Luanda. That one is currently at 0-0, 23 minutes played. Moving on to the English Premier League. Where we had, Manchester City taking on Wolverhampton Wanderers. Man City taking that one at 2-0. Chelsea played against Crystal Palace, where Chelsea took that one at 3-1. And Liverpool, defending champions, continuing their disappointing title defense, I must say, by losing 3-2 to lowly Bournemouth. And the fixture of the weekend, starting in about 5 minutes from now, is Manchester United up against the Gunners. That is Arsenal live at the Emirates Stadium. And of course, if anything changes, if anything happens in that fixture, I will update you as the scores happen. Right now, as it stands, Arsenal lead the table by 4 points on 50 points ahead of Manchester City, who are on 46 points. Aston Villa are in third. Aston Villa won against Newcastle 2-0. And rounding off the top four is the Blues of Chelsea on 37 points. Should Manchester United win today, they will go in fourth on 38 points. They are currently sitting sixth, one place behind Liverpool, who are in fifth place. And moving on to Germany, over in the Bundesliga, where Bayern finally lost their first league game of the season after a 2-1 defeat at home, mind you, to Augsburg. Then we will have, they still lead the table by currently 8 points over Borussia Dortmund, who beat Union Berlin at 3-0. And that running off that top four is Hoffenheim and Stuttgart. Moving on to La Liga over in Spain, where we had Real Madrid back to winning ways, beating Villarreal 2-0. Barcelona are in action right now as we speak against Real Oviedo. And the standings in that league, you have Real Madrid on 51 points. Barcelona on 50 right now. Should they win, we'll go on 52 points, 1 point ahead of the Los Blancos. Rounding off the top four in Spain is Atletico Madrid in third and Villarreal in fourth place. Now, when it comes to local football is meant to return this coming Friday with Comos Nampol taking on Tigers, scheduled to take place at the Independence Stadium at 7 p.m. That is on Friday the 30th. And on that following Saturday, some other fixtures you have. Defending champions African Stars up against Young African. UNAM will take on Mighty Gunners. FC Ongos will take on the Life Fighters. 11 Arrows will take on Okahandja United. Blue Waters will take on Bucks Buccaneers, and Chula Chula will play against Julinho. That'll take place in Rundu. And another fixture that'll take place in Rundu is Rundu Chiefs up against KK Palace. So some Northern derbies taking place this weekend. Should football return, we still haven't received final confirmation if local football will actually return. But we will be awaiting eagerly to see if the local football season will return. And speaking of local football, in just a few moments, we will get in touch with one of local football's, I would say, most important figures that keeps even a person as myself, keeps me up to date, allows me to inform you guys with what's happening on the local footballing scene. That is none other than the creator of Footy Namibia. And on the other side of this commercial break, we will get in touch with him and begin our journey. We'll be right back.
Has your phone ever taken a nosedive into the kitchen sink? Take control with Express Credit. Borrow up to $32,000. Fast, reliable, same-day approval. Apply for a quick cash loan. Call 90,000.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano hile koshiwala onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo IGL FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu kwa ndado inawa nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge kwa tafanona monika ko IGL FM onora etatu imwe mbali heali nola natu heali mbali no heali ila kumberewa nora etatu natu mbali o etatu batatu oma felane IGL FM the eye.
My friend, why do you...
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. I am now joined on the line, as promised, by the creator of Footy Namibia, that is Silas Timoteo. Silas, how are you doing this evening? And thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Now let's get right into it, Silas. If you can share, as I said, you are the creator of Footy Namibia, but give us a bit about your background and what led you to creating the channel or the page that is Footy Namibia.
Okay. I was always a guy who was around football, because my dad was a football coach in Walvis Bay. He owned a football club.
Okay.
Called Adin Seve. They played in third division. So I was always with him whenever he goes to train his team, you know. Mm. Basically, I was like kind of like the ball boy.
So
from there, now when I came to Windhoek, that's when our league was dormant for those 3 years.
Yeah.
There were a lot of players going to Botswana at that time. And I noticed that, like, there wasn't, like, any, you know, platform that was announcing the players. I was seeing the players going, but there wasn't anyone, like, you know, like, announcing them, like, you know, who went to. So I started doing it on Twitter, now called X. Then people impressed, actually, like, oh, okay, so this player went to... Then they're like, no, don't do it in your personal page. How about, like, just create a page so we just have, like, the information on their own page, because I was doing it on my personal page, like more like Fabrizio.
Mm-hmm.
Then, yeah, that's now when I started a page on Instagram first called Food Namibia. Mm-hmm. Because the idea was like it will only be based on Namibian football. So basically, football Namibia. I just made it short, Food Namibia.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was now 2022 when our league resumed. Yeah, then from there, the platform just grew bigger and bigger and biggest. It seems like there was a demand for information in the country regarding Rwanda football. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and now we are here.
And now you're here, we said your pages both on Facebook and X have thousands and thousands of followers. How has the reception been since you started the page? How has the football community received your page?
I know it's been positive, to be honest, because like everyone, really loves the content, the information we share. Obviously at the beginning it was a bit challenging because, I was new. I just started the thing for fun. Then I had to kind of like be professional, which was a bit tricky for me.
Yeah.
Because basically I had to be like a journalist, so it was a bit tricky at the beginning, just to know like the basic things of journalism and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, in terms of, reception wise, everyone receives me very well. People, the clubs, even NFA, they even welcome me, to give me media passes. So
it's been
smooth.
Now, for the listeners that don't know, the Footy Namibia page right now, I'm looking at it, has 153,000 followers. That's more than some media houses that we have in the country. So I want to know, because your page, I'll share with the listeners, I rely on your page for local footballing news, especially score lines. But what I want to know is where do you get your information from? Because, sometimes we see you updating. Well, if there's football happening in the country, it's on your page. How do you get all this information in such a timely manner?
Yeah, no. I've just been in a game for 2 years. Yeah, 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But then I've made contacts. I've connected. I have sources everywhere in the country. So,
mm-hmm.
So right now in the country, wherever there's football, I can get information. I don't have to be there.
Yeah.
I can get information right now. They got score line and everything. So yeah, no, I do have contacts everywhere. That's why it's now it's kind of like easy for me to get information regarding local football. Because now, at the beginning, it was a bit difficult because I didn't know anyone. I just said the page, I didn't know anyone. But now all the teams are coming to help out. All the players, they're sending me the information. Yeah, so now it's a bit easier because everyone wants to share what they have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if you're able to share with the listeners, is this the page that you run? Is this something you do full-time or is something you do on the side in addition to your full-time job?
Just something I've been doing for fun, basically. More of like part-time. Okay, because I never really imagined the thing be this big. So, Because for me, myself, I have a full-time job.
Yeah.
So this was never really something that I thought would be big.
Mm-hmm.
It just happened. Yeah, so I know it's a bit challenging because obviously now I do have my 9-to-5, Then now here we have to also give your followers what they need because they are the one who supports you.
So
I try my level best to balance. It has been a bit challenging, but we're coping.
And has the Footy Namibia brand, so to say, have you been able to monetize your pages or generate any revenue from your big following on both on X and on Facebook and WhatsApp actually also?
Currently we're still busy with monetization, but income wise there is income coming from the football from the platform.
Mm-hmm.
We also have some sponsors who on board on the page.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something coming out of the page. At least I'm not just doing it for free, but at least I'm able to also sustain the page because, doing journalism, it's a bit costly. You have to be traveling out and down. You have to be everywhere. So it's not cheap. It's not cheap. So I do get something. We do get something from the platform.
Mm-hmm. That's great to hear that you've been able to generate at least some money to at least compensate for all the traveling and data that you have to be using to keep us up to date. Now, what I want to know is, have any media houses, whether it's maybe they want to collab with you or maybe they even want to get rid of you. Have you had any contact with any media houses, local media houses?
I would say at the beginning when I started, since I didn't do anything regarding media journalism or whatever, I didn't know the basics of media or just journalism. So I was doing a bit of errors at the beginning because there was something I was doing constantly wrong every single time, which was using people's images, which actually was a big thing. So then, you know, then obviously some media houses started coming for me. No, I'm stealing content. I was like, oh, I just thought I didn't know. So I know some media houses were really angry because I was posting their pictures without putting who took the picture or putting contributed. Yeah, so I had to learn those things as I've been going through the way. But but now I don't know, like almost like every media houses know me. I know the journalists.
Mm-hmm.
So like in terms of collaboration, we have had a lot of collaboration. You know, Sport Rap have been collaborating a lot.
Mm-hmm.
NBC Sport, so even NFA themselves. So yeah, it's been great.
And speaking of NFA, how has NFA received you? Because I mean, at some point, I think even now still, you were updating us more than the NFA itself. Has you had any issues with the NFA in your time?
Not really. Because I'm not really in contact with NFA that much.
Okay.
Because, you know, I try to keep my distance. I do my for a distance.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if I am to go for a meeting, a conference, whatever, we go, we do whatever, we do the reporting, but I'm not really in contact with NFA that much.
Okay.
Yeah, so I haven't really had, obviously there are challenges with NFA because, you know, we all know what NFA is going through. So it's not always smooth sailing.
Yeah.
Hasn't been great. I can't blame them because them, they also want to know who is behind the brand behavior. So it's whenever we visit their offices, they always say, oh, so it's you. Okay, good. You are doing great. All that. Yeah. So the reception has been good from NFA also because they see what you are doing and they really appreciate what you are doing. So yeah.
And, what's been, since you started this, what's been your favorite part about running this page? Or maybe your favorite moment?
Favorite moment, I'll probably say, obviously, through this, I was able to go out of the country, throughout what I was used. I managed to go to Botswana.
Okay.
To cover the Brave Warriors when they played against Malawi and, Sao Tome. So, mm-hmm. so I was part of the media, houses that went, I was part of the, of course we went with, NAMPA, New Era, NBC and all that. So yeah, it's been great, but overall, it's been great, socializing and, meeting new people actually. Yeah. Because, at first it was always, I was just doing this thing from my own, bedroom and all that. Yeah. But now it's good being out there and meeting new people.
Yeah.
Meeting people you just see on TV and all that. Yeah. And see like.
And what's been the, maybe the most challenging or difficult thing about running Footy Namibia?
I'll probably say, I think the coast. Yeah. Like the coast has been a bit challenging, but at the beginning. Yeah. Like at the beginning, obviously. But the most challenging part of running for the NBA, because I would say getting information on time. Because people are so used to getting information exactly they have a schedule of if the game ends, Footy already has info. Some days, let's say you don't get information, for example. The fans can be very angry. I know they can be very angry. And, I would say, also getting, wrong information has been one of the most challenging, parts. Because I remember, I think one of the transfers we did that, was wrong. Okay. It wasn't wrong, but just not incomplete. I think it was Alfie's Levy.
Yeah.
The Alfie's Levy from Chula Chula to Blue Water.
Mm-hmm.
So, the player has been with Blue Water training throughout. Then we got information from the camp that the player has signed. Dan Dio. So we announced the player that Dan Dio, Alphys Levy has left Joachim Lafoe to blow it up. The calls we got that day.
The phone
from
was
both
hot.
Teams, for both teams.
Yeah.
Now, it was a thing of like, the two teams were still trying to negotiate, to negotiate for a deal.
Mm-hmm.
So the deal ended up collapsing. So they ended up collapsing. Yeah, but yeah, I know, but luckily the player did go with the next transfer window. But that moment, because it was a thing of like, they thought one team gave wrong information, then the other one got angry. So it was, yeah, so there was a bit of tension between the two teams, and the deal eventually collapsed.
Yeah.
So I think that was, yeah, but then from that moment, we'll be very cautious. Obviously, we don't just get information and publish. You have to really
verify.
Get a second, you know, like verify with a second source that know did the player really sign? Or yeah, because in India we have these things of a player can be training with another club, but he's still with another club.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so don't just see a player at African Star Training and assume the player is,
that he plays for Stars.
That player can just training for fun.
Yeah.
So that's one thing I've noticed. So yeah, no, I was seeing wrong information is one of the most difficult challenges, or having wrong sources.
And now, speaking of transfers, I know that agents they monitor your page also. Talk about that experience. How has your page, you know, kind of been a middleman for agents in finding local talent?
Yeah, ever since we started, most of the transfer that went out went through us. We've been really useful. Because currently, we are like the link between the agents, because some agents also just ask us to recommend players, and we do. Some players we recommend that went out. And also, like,
give the listeners some names of some transfers you've helped make happen.
Okay. One of the players I gave personally was Rivaldo Prince. I gave Rivaldo Prince to a South African agent.
Yeah.
And the agent finalized the deal. He went to Maruma Gallants. Then also another player again, it was Bakonja Sahidiga.
Mm-hmm.
I gave him to the same agent again, the same agent that took him to Maruma Gallants, and again the deal was successful. Another player we gave was and then I think one of the biggest one we gave was Coach. We were the So Matebele FC reached out to us that we want a KFA license coach. Can you please get us one?
They asked you to help them find a coach.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So when Matebele got promoted, I think like 2 seasons back. Yeah. So their coach did not have the right qualification to coach in the Premier League of Botswana, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we just hear WhatsApp message that I'm Huhu. We would like to get a coach, a license. Yeah, it was a bit shocking because, it's very new to us. Yeah, so no, then we got them a coach. We managed to link them up with Coach Woody Jacobs.
Mm-hmm.
We connected with Kobe Woody. Woody gave his CV. We gave Woody's CV to the chairman. Yeah, then from there, as the two connected, and it was a done deal.
Mm-hmm.
Then Coach Woody went to Matembele. And from there, it was where most of our players went to Matembele. Because after Coach Woody signed for Matembele FC, Coach Woody started getting on the Namibian players. Shidolo, Shidolo went there because of Woody. Stefan Vibian, Gerard Gwagosef, Makat Inawaseb. So all those players that went there, even the goalkeeper for Young African, I forgot his name. So I would say approximately 5 to 6 players went to Matebele after the Coach Woody deal. But unfortunately now, after Coach Woody left, we don't have a single player anymore at Matebele. it was good that we were able to be helpful
in
getting around. We have been very useful in transfers, a lot of transfers.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, no, they must start paying you like a finder's fee or something.
We obviously don't just sell them for free. Obviously, we have to get our cut as well.
Yeah,
so we also be getting our cut. Obviously, like if we recommend a player, or maybe if someone want to bring their player to India, which happens a lot,
mm-hmm.
we brought a lot of players in India. A lot of foreigners here came through us. Like we are the one that gave the contacts of the clubs and stuff. So yeah, we've been the link between the clubs going out. The players coming in, players going out, and I think we've made our team has made almost all the highlight videos for players for agents to go present their players. The like of Romeo Kasune, who went to Kosovo, we are the one who made his video for his agent to go present him. Ratu Kula, when he went, we are the one who made his video. Shidolo's videos, we are the one who made them. Makonja's videos, we made them. Basically, almost all the players for national team, we make their videos. So the agents have something to go present them.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so basically that's a big thing.
Yeah. What would you say has been your biggest all-time story? Which one was the biggest?
The biggest, okay, let me think, because yeah, I'm not thinking of stories. The biggest story I've seen it would be, I don't think it's the biggest, but like in terms of numbers wise, in terms of numbers, this was the biggest story that really like got numbers. I think every Sidolo news report guaranteed like, you know, engagement. But I would think when Sidolo went to South Africa for trials after his breakout season, because we were the first to break the story. Okay, like break the story. But yeah, like that was like this. People were really excited. Like that post did thousands, millions. Yeah, so yeah, but unfortunately, things don't go well at that side. That's not when he went to Botswana. Yeah, but I think that story was like one of the biggest after we broke it.
Yeah, no, the Namibian football fans like news about Shidolo.
Yes.
My last question for you, Silas, is your overall thoughts on Namibian football. What obviously you started this page out of your love for local football, but as you sit here today, what are your thoughts on local football? And do you think local football will return next weekend as it is scheduled to?
Yes. I've been obviously trying to confirm if there is football next. I did get confirmation from clubs and players that there is football.
Okay.
For the second leg, because we all knew that there was only 10 million allocated.
Yeah, and they said there was only enough for the first round, Moss.
Yes, because initially you need 20 million to run a proper league.
Mm.
Just to finish the league. So, and if you only got 10 million from the Ministry of Sport, then they were like, no, they're busy negotiating with a sponsor to give them another 10 million for a second leg. Until now, we don't know if they managed we really don't know what money they're using for the second leg, or maybe there was some change from the 10 million. But yeah, let's see. But overall, our league, I was thinking it's still very amateurish, it's still very amateur.
Yeah.
Because first of all, no league in the world plays two games in a weekend.
Exactly.
Yeah, because you can't play today tomorrow. What happened to resting?
Yeah.
Our players don't rest. There's risk of injury. So
even our school leagues don't play back to back.
Exactly.
Like that.
Just imagine a professional player playing today and tomorrow.
Yeah.
The coach have no time to analyze games where they did mistakes. So first of all, that's already a big no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but obviously it's because of the budget. There's enough budget for a team to play one weekend. That actually saves costs. But overall, I think it's, the league is okay. Just that we are very far from being professional.
Yeah.
Maybe next season when they go independent, hopefully we will get more money to run a smooth league, maybe like one game per weekend. And I think our league needs like close to 30 million to to have one game per weekend. Mm-hmm. 30 million up. Because the 20 million is not enough. Yeah, no, but overall, the quality-wise, our league is like we have quality because any player from India that goes out of the country really comes back because like the level here, even though our league, our stadiums and infrastructure are not the best, the quality of football is still top tier, like mm-hmm. very good. Yeah, because even if a player goes from here to South Africa, mm-hmm. they can still compete. They can still compete. Like they won't really struggle that much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, like yeah, just look at like the Botswana League, a very proper run, professional. But Shidolo, when their first season was won the players' player of the season.
Yeah,
like yeah, I mean the fans' player of the season. So it just shows that no, yeah, we just have like just that we just need a proper a proper structure.
Yeah.
And obviously our biggest problem is the stadiums.
Exactly.
But I just hope, let's wait and see next season when the league goes independent. Maybe few things will change that everyone has been crying for.
Yeah, I guess the time will tell on that one. Okay, my very last question for you is, do you follow any other footballing blogs similar to yours from around the continent that have caught your eye?
I think in almost every country, like said the country, I have someone there or a journalist. I've been following a lot because, like, I think in Botswana, I've been following a lot of pages.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have maybe like 4 to 5 journalists there who have their contacts.
Yeah.
Then in Zambia also, I have also friends there who do the similar thing I do.
Mm-hmm.
South Africa also, I also have a few there, that we exchange information.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, so I know I've been following a lot of, SEDEC. Because SEDEC, I can relate. I can relate to how they report.
Yeah.
I don't really follow, European, a style of breaking news. I normally follow our SEDEC journalist
mm-hmm.
because I don't relate to what they're saying.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Silas, unless there's anything else you want to leave with the listeners before I let you go this evening?
No. I just want to say thank you to everyone who has been supporting the page. Mm-hmm. And obviously, it's also good that the women started this weekend.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, so I also encourage people to watch women's football because FNB really put their money in there. So they expect you guys to support them. Yeah, and let's wait for next weekend so we get back to the Premier League.
Yeah, hopefully it's going to happen.
Yeah. Okay, hopefully.
Yeah. Silas, thank you very much for joining us and keep up the amazing work.
Thanks for having me, Hede.
No problem. Yes, that was the man, the myth, the legend himself, Silas Timoteos, the creator and owner and manager and runner of none other than Footy Namibia, Namibia's favorite footballing page. And as you heard from there, it's among SADC's, one of our favorite football pages in the region. Something he started just out of a pure hobby. Not a trained journalist, as he explained. He bumped his head a few times, made a few mistakes, made a few crucial mistakes, but he learned from them, and he's now undoubtedly the biggest footballing page in the country and amongst the biggest in the Southern African region. I'm willing to say amongst the continent as well, actually. But that is a page that keeps not just the public, but people such as myself, I know other journalists they won't admit it, but they make use of Footy Namibia as well, waiting for Footy Namibia to update, whether that's score lines, goal scorers, even things like team sheets, we get them directly from Footy Namibia. I don't know how he manages to get them before everyone else. Sometimes it feels like he gets them before the association itself even. But, it just goes to show the power of media, the power of digital media in particular, how quickly news can travel You know, when there's matches happening in Rundu, when there's matches happening in the coast, where obviously I'm not there. The only way I know what the scoreline is through Footy Namibia, because he updates it faster than the association, faster than the teams themselves playing, which I sometimes find hard to understand. But at the same time, I understand not every team has a social media person in place, which they should, but that is a story for another day. So yes, that was our conversation with the creator of Footy Namibia. If you'd like to come in and chime in, give us your thoughts on that conversation, or tell us how you've interacted with Footy Namibia, the number in our studio is 0832-888-401. That's 0832-888-401. And on the other side of this commercial break, we'll get in touch with our next guest. We'll be right back.
Win big, win now with Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Get a 200% sports bonus of up to 2,000 Namibian dollars. Sign up now at premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264. Premier Bet, win big, win now.
Short on cash? Get to where you save for a bargain combo of 5 for just 170.00 Namibian dollars. 2.5 kilograms Champion Super Maize Meal, 2.5 kilograms Bokomo Fat Cook Flour, 2 kilos Nice Rice, 2 kilos Marathon White or Brown Sugar, and 1 kilogram Grande Macaroni or Spaghetti. That's all for just 170.00 Namibian dollars. Hurry to your favorite You Save. We all say at You Save.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Brought to you by Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Create your account now at premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264. Premier Bet, win big, win now.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone, brought to you by Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Update in the Arsenal and Manchester United fixture. We have a goal that is for the Gunners. Still waiting to find out exactly who scored that one, but the Gunners are in the lead 1-0 over Manchester United at the Emirates Stadium. 31 minutes played. If anything changes, I will keep you up to breast on what is happening. Now, as promised, we're going to get in touch. On the other side of this commercial break, we're going to get in touch with our guest. That is Tamim Shengu. Tamim Shengu, who runs the popular footballing blog that is Tammy Soccer over from South Africa. On the other side of this short commercial break, we will get in touch with our friend Tammy. We'll be right back.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear or favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Brought to you by Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Create your account now at premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264. Premier Bet, win big, win now.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. And as promised, we're going to get in touch with our guest, Tommy. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. I am now joined by none other than Tammy Mshengu, all the way from South Africa. Tammy, how are you doing this evening?
Good evening, Hedy.
It's great to be here.
Thank you very much for
this show.
Thank you very much for making time for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Now, for those that don't know, Tommy is a journalist from South Africa. I met him through actually a WhatsApp group, a COSAFA Media WhatsApp group, and I saw during the African Cup of Nations he was very consistent with a blog post that he was sending in the group from his blog called TommySoccer.co.za. But before we get to your blog, Tommy, tell us, give us a little bit of a background about yourself and how you got to where you are today.
My name is Tommy Mshengu. I'm currently based in Eastern Cape. I'm a founder, also the writer of Tommy Soccer, which is a website which covers a lot of South African soccer leagues, men and women. I also cover the CAF intercontinental competitions, like CAF Champions League and the CAF Confederations Cup. I also cover CAF Women's Champions League. I've also covered recently the AFCON 2025, which was held in Morocco. Mm-hmm.
And now, speaking of the AFCON 2025, what are your thoughts on how the AFCON ended? I mean, we all saw the drama and the drama that's still unfolding now, but what are your thoughts on how it ended?
There's been a problem since from the group stages. So when other teams say, when they're playing against North African teams, so the match officials had been biased. They've been against those these other nations which are not from North Africa. For example, remember the match of Bafana Bafana versus Egypt.
Yeah.
So Egypt were awarded by VAR, which we think it was a soft penalty. Mm-hmm. So even Mo Salah was surprised when he saw the officials awarding that penalty.
Yeah.
Another incident which happened between Morocco and Tanzania. So Tanzania, in the dying minutes of the match, they had a penalty shout. Mm-hmm. So the match officially didn't consider to look that penalty shout at the VAR. Another incident also happened against Morocco versus Cameroon. It was a similar incident. Cameroon were supposed to be awarded a penalty. They were supposed to be given an opportunity by the ref of the day just to send to consider that penalty shout by Cameroon, and then he ignored that shout. Another incident happened against also, which match? It was, I think it's Nigeria versus Algeria. It's only that match Nigeria benefited against North African team. And then there was another match which happened. I think it was a knockout, Cameroon versus Morocco.
Yeah.
There was a penalty shout there, and the referee, it happened when the Morocco was still leading. I think they were leading Cameroon 1-0, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So, the referee ignored that penalty shout. That's what caused whatever what happened in the final. If you go straight to the final, remember that Senegal scored a goal, ne? So the referee just decided to cancel the goal. But normally what has been happening in the AFCON, you find out when the team finds the back of the net, every goal that has been scored was referred to VAR. Yes. But that goal of Senegal, it was not referred to VAR. And then that referee from DRC decided just to not allow the VAR to intervene. Mm-hmm. And then remember what happened. Morocco got a penalty. Oh, they made a penalty shout, and then it was considered immediately. Mm-hmm. That's what caused the tension. But this thing, it started even before we reached the final.
So
another thing, sorry to interrupt you. Another thing, what happened on that final? Ne? Mm-hmm. So, the referee was not cautioning the Morocco players. Ne?
Yeah.
But when the Senegal committed a foul, he was cautioning them. Remember, this player, Lamine Camara, ne? Before he was booked, ne? There was two incidents that happened before he was booked there, and then referee waved play on.
Yeah, no,
so that's what happened in that fight. That's what happened in the AFCON. Another thing, what I was surprised with the referee for the final. You remember that what happened? There was a World Cup qualifier between Senegal and DRC, which I think Senegal won that match 3-2 or 4-3. For the World Cup qualifier, and then there was a riot, fans through the chairs on the pitch, which was a game against DRC versus Senegal. So I was surprised to see the match official from DRC is handling the fixture between Senegal versus Morocco after that incident. So it's one of those strange decisions which was taken by the CAF in terms of selecting the match official in certain matches.
Yeah. No. This the whole CAF tournament. It was really. The things that were happening with the referees was very strange to watch. Like the one match when they changed the referee like a day before the match, because they said he wore the wrong boots or something. He wore the wrong sponsored boots. You know, things like that were very weird to witness. I had never seen anything like that happen before at a tournament.
And then you notice that. During the final, the ref of the final was announced very late.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know that they normally issue those match day packs, ne? Mm-hmm. Before the match, ne? So the name of the referee was not there on the match day pack of the final. You can see that there was something brewing there.
Yeah.
If it was me, Mina, if it was Kev, ne? Mm-hmm. The only referee who tried his best, ne, it's our own referee, Abongile Tom from South Africa. Mm-hmm. So he officiated very, very well in those matches. He officiated. South Africa was not in the final. I still believe he was the one who was supposed to be selected as the main referee.
Yeah. So tell me, you fully believe that there was a bias to the North Africans compared to the rest of Africa?
Of course. Even you see, Jay, from the match one of Morocco, ne? So you might recall that the Morocco won the FIFA, the AFCON Fair Play Award.
Yeah.
So the Fair Play Award, it's an award that you get if you receive the least coaches in the tournament. Mm-hmm. But we've noticed in other countries, which reached the semifinals. None of the players from Morocco went to suspension.
Yeah.
Red card, even yellow card. But Nigeria, Senegal, their players, they've received many yellow cards or red cards. But when it comes to Morocco, none of their players were suspended for any match, which is strange. In the whole tournament, it means the referees were lenient against them. They were not issuing them the cards.
Yeah.
From when the tournament started until the final.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things. Referees, they were favoring North African teams.
No, it was a very interesting AFCON to say the least. Now, tell me, I want us to talk about a bit of South African football now.
Mm-hmm.
Firstly, before we get to that, I want to know the blog that you run, is this what you do full time or do you work for a media company as well?
No. You'll be surprised how do I started this blog.
Okay.
This blog, I started to cover National First Division, which is called Motsepe Foundation Championship in South Africa, né? Which is a second tier, né? After Betway Premiership.
Yeah.
So my main interest was to promote the NFD. Mm. I started this journey back then. Because the NFD players, they are not given publicity in South Africa. Ne? Mm-hmm. So I'm the one who concentrates on them. So during my time when I started this, I've introduced a lot of players from NFD to Premier Division teams. For example, from your own country. Ne? Let me start with Namibia. Ne?
Okay, okay.
Remember Shalulile, Peter Shalulile, ne?
Yeah, yeah.
Back then, ne? He came to South Africa and played for Highlands Park, ne?
Mm-hmm.
And then Highlands Park got relegated to NFD, ne?
Yeah.
Remember when Highlands Park were relegated, they relegated to NFD. So Peter Shalulile played with Highlands Park and then became the top goal scorer for Highlands Park that they find Highlands Park in the NFD. Yeah. So it's where I started my journey. Né? So most of the players like Peter Shalulile, Rian Hanamap, Edward Mayova, there's this player from I'll tell you now, from Baroka who retired now from international, Gebhard Junior.
Okay.
Yes, so most of those players from your own country, I started my journey with them from the lower division.
Yeah.
They were not playing for the premiership teams. They were playing for the NFT teams. So it's where most of them I wrote about them, and then the teams started to recognize them.
So that time already, were you working for a company or just doing your own thing independently?
I'm a freelancer. Né?
Oh, okay.
So I decided just to start my blog to promote the NFT players.
Yeah.
This is how I started. And then what happened a few years later, they call it PSL, Betway Premiership. Né? Mm. They were interested in what I was doing in NFT. Né? So they wanted me to do the same thing with the Premier Division. This is how my career started.
Also, the league itself contacted you?
No, they contacted me. They've loved what they saw, what I was doing in NFT.
Yeah. Né?
So they said, okay, what about you also cover the Betway Premiership like you do in the NFT? Mm. They contacted me. I remember the acting CEO, né? Mato Masala, né?
Yes.
So she gave me a call, which she is, I'm interested to what you do. I would love to see do the same thing with the Betway Premiership team. This is how I was doing this thing for part-time, né?
Yeah.
Not full-time, just for the love of the game. But with work I was doing, it attracted a lot of people to be where I was. So if I've not started in the NFT, I will not be here today. I will not be even able to cover the AFCON, because AFCON is the biggest tournament in Africa.
Yeah. No, I'm very glad you gave us that history, because really what I want to talk about today is the role that media can play when it comes to talking about this football in particular. Like you said, you started it first because you wanted to give more shine to the NFT players, and it got to the point where the CEO of the PSL contacted you and said, please do the same for my league also. So as someone who started now a blog, first covering NFT players and now covering things like AFCON, talk to us about the impact that basically your writing has had on the exposure of not only South African but African football also.
You see, to be honest, in Africa, it was for the first time covering AFCON like the way I've done in this AFCON 2025. So in the past, I was concentrating in the NFT, but in the past three years, I started to concentrate in the Betway Premiership. Sometimes they call it PSL. Mm. So AFCON, it was something that I wanted to test myself, né? With the experience, with the skills that I've acquired over the years covering NFT and the PSL, and see how I'm going to perform in the biggest stage, which is AFCON. So, but I'm not happy, but I still believe I could have done better, but overall, whatever I've done in AFCON, it gave me an opportunity for people who didn't know about Tamisoka.
Yeah.
But now they know about Tommy Soccer through AFCON. The AFCON, it's revived me. It revived me, the passion of covering soccer due to a number of things.
So I want to talk about the feedback you've been getting from your blog since you started. How has the reception been? Have many people been reaching out to you saying that they're other now than the CEO of PSL, just regular people? How has the reception been?
Over the years, I'm the person who always who come up with the new ideas, né? But what I've noticed in the past, since I started doing what I do, there's a lot of change from the media. The things that I've introduced, most of the media in South Africa, most of the journalists are doing it now, even the media houses. For example, yes, I'm not copying you. They are just following, they're copying my style. For example, ne? In South Africa, ne, I'm the one who started the habit of posting the logs on social media in the media houses. When I started, it was most of the media, they were not doing that. When I started, but if you can now, in these past 5 years, most of the media houses in South Africa, especially in the Betway Premiership, now they post the log after on their social media after the matches. They're no longer relying on the league. The league, they only post it on the website. And then the broadcasters, they will also post it on the website. But now you find out now the broadcasters and other big medias, they're doing something which is introduced in South Africa, posting the logs on the social media. I have to be honest, I'm not good, Mina, when it comes to what you call it, the transfers. The players' transfers. I can't do it like Lorenzo. I can't do it like Mazola, you see, which is the biggest journalist in South Africa, or Sinetemba. I mean, I'm so good when it comes to statistics.
Okay.
That's one of the things which makes me different from other journalists or media houses. The style that I use to update about football is unique. To the traditional media. This is what is different with me. Mina, each and every game, ne? All, it's a pity that you are not in my, I also have a WhatsApp group, ne?
Okay, yeah,
you must. So, yes, I do have a WhatsApp group which is covered all this league from South Africa. I do all the match updates and everything. I put the team sheets, everything is there. The logs, the clean sheet, top goal scorers, even assist, you name it. Man of the match awards, everything is there.
Yeah.
So you will be surprised that most of the senior journalists in South Africa, even the veterans, they're on my WhatsApp group because it's very informative. When you saw just a glimpse in the COSAFA group, ne? Because I was it was for AFCON, ne? But when it comes to South African soccer, PSL, NFD, even the reserve league, it's where a lot of things where people. They get information about the matches. Even if you are not watching the match on TV, my update will keep you informed with what is happening each and every match. I mean, I don't cover one match. I cover all the matches which are taking place at the same time. I got that unique ability.
Mm-hmm. So I want to know, how do you get all your information? I mean, you said you're based in Eastern Cape, but when a match is happening in Durban, where are you getting your information from?
I was born in KZN.
Okay.
Originally, I've moved to Eastern Cape. Yeah? So all over the years, I was able to have a relationship with the media officers and team managers of the teams. Yeah?
Okay.
So in South Africa, I mean, I got contacts with almost everyone. Every team, almost every team which is in the PSL. So all over the years, I had a relationship with these teams. Right?
Mm-hmm.
They know, they saw my work, whatever information that I need, but which is match related.
We'll be right back.
Get ready to embrace a world of possibilities at the University of Namibia with a community of ambitious students, researchers, and innovators. Shape your future with a wide range of programs in agriculture, engineering, natural sciences, commerce and management, law, education, human sciences, health sciences, or veterinary medicine. Apply online at unam.edu.na. UNAM, open your mind.
Let's continue with Tommy.
It's it.
Yeah.
So I'm able to get information from them. For example, sometimes if I need a team sheet, me now in South Africa, it's easy for me to get a team sheet.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for the Betway Premiership. I just say, can you give a team sheet? They don't have a problem because they know with the team sheet, end of the match, I will have a profile one of the players in those teams differently from the rest of the media.
Yeah.
So I specialize in profiling the players.
Mm.
So I also specialize each and every match. Né? When the player maybe reach a certain milestone, I'm always the first person to inform the public to see, oh, this player has reached this milestone with this team.
Mm-hmm.
This is how I do it. For example, if a player scored first goal for the club, in all my updates, I always say, this player is a first goal for this club. If a player provided an assist for the club, I'm the person, sometimes I'm the first person to mention that, which is the first assist for this. If a goalkeeper kept first clean sheet, I'm the person who posts information like that.
Mm.
But I also realized that, now there's some AI now. In so if you search information now, whatever data I posted in my social media over the years,
yeah.
Let's say if you want to find out first call for certain player,
mm-hmm.
You will find out my name or Tamisoka will appear on that set information on the AI for the work that I've done in the past few seasons.
So do you keep like a database, or how are you keeping track of all these things?
I keep a data. I'm a statistician by profession.
Ah, is that like how you earn money? You're a statistician.
My profession, besides football, I'm a statistician by profession. Football, it started as a hobby for me.
Yeah.
It's a hobby for me. It's a football. It's a hobby. So this is how I went to football. I was bored. I decided to update about the match which was playing on TV. Mm-hmm. And then look where I am now.
Yeah, no, it's a great story. So, have any of the like big media companies tried to, you know, poach you, try to get a hold of your services or anyway?
As I told you, with by profession, I'm a statistician. Yeah. Né? So, one of the things, I mean, I don't want to rely. Now, the media has changed over the years.
Okay, yeah. Expound on that.
So, it's nowadays, now monetization in social media, there's a lot of way of making money, né, than being employed now. You see, now on Facebook, there's content monetization. Yeah. And then on Twitter, even Elon Musk, he pays you if your content is reaching certain number of people. If you got certain number of follower of verified followers, yeah, you got paid. So now to be employed by media houses doesn't pay very, very well with this now monetization which has been introduced since COVID.
Yeah. So you are making some money from your blog? It pays you some money?
Yes, I get paid on my blog website, stroke website. So it's also monetized there. So whatever, if you search information about certain players in South Africa, my website, it's there on the Google search. Certain information. So, but if in the past 12 months, now a person makes money from this monetization from X and also from Facebook.
Okay.
So, I'm reluctant to work for anyone.
Yeah, I mean, why work if you can make your own money?
Yes. So as I told you, I'm a statistician by profession, full time.
Yeah.
So the soccer, I cover it on the weekends and after work.
It's a nice side hustle.
It's a side hustle.
Yeah.
So whatever I get there, it's a bonus for me because I have something which on my career it will pay me until to the last days, né? So yeah. I will never change my career just to be full-time journalist.
Yeah, no, I mean, as you know, I'm Namibian, so in our market is much smaller than the market that you guys have there in South Africa. I mean, I spoke once to, I don't know if you know him, Sam Shivambu, a photographer in South Africa.
Yes, I know him, the photographer, yes.
Yeah, I interviewed him once and he also told me about, I mean, he works for Backpage, but he told me about
Backpage. Yes, yeah.
How his personal Facebook page is also monetized, so he makes some money from there also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most of the photographers, they make money from those pictures they took from the matches. Mm-hmm. So it's him. Also, there's this guy, Vino. Mazilita.
There's also Vino.
Yeah. Vino is grow a lot now. He's an influencer now. Vino Snap, ne?
Yeah, Vino Snap.
Mm.
Yeah, no, as a Namibian, I find it very like fast because we can't do that definitely. Our market is not big enough to just make money from the Facebook like that, from photos we take at football matches, for example. So to speak to you guys is very interesting, especially considering how close you are to us and how different the sporting industries are.
Yeah, but what I've noticed, another thing besides, you know, covering, you see, another thing which pays a lot, mm-hmm, is this intercontinental competitions.
Yeah.
CAF Champions League, yo! CAF Champions League, the content of CAF Champions League.
Yeah.
And the CAF Confederations, you see now in the CAF Confederations Cup this season, we have Kaizer Chiefs, we got Wydad, we got Zamalek. You see, the standards of CAF Confederations Cup is never been the same like before.
Yeah.
Like CAF Champions League, because of those teams. So, you see, for CAF, having Kaizer Chiefs in the CAF Continental matches, yo, it's a blessing for them, because you know how Kaizer Chiefs have got number of followers, even in South Africa, on TV alone. And the stadium. So the Kaizer Chiefs is one of the teams which are attracted. It's got a lot of supporters in their matches. And also Orlando Pirates.
Yeah, of course, of course.
It's a pity that they didn't qualify for the group stages. If they were there at the group stages, it was going to be interesting.
Definitely, definitely. What team do you support? Oh, you don't want to reveal.
I can reveal. So, but with work I do, so you don't have to. You have to be partial most of the time. You don't have to be biased to certain teams. So it's difficult for me to reveal my team, because I always don't choose side when I do my work. So the affiliation of any teams, it's finished. Stand aside wherever I do my work. I always try to be partial as much as possible. No matter my team is winning, my team is losing. So I have to be fair in my coverage. I taught myself to be, not be biased. So I don't. You put me in a corner to reveal my team name.
That's okay. If you can't.
So it's better for me when people don't know which team I'm supporting. They will think that I'm favoring this team when I'm in my work. People, they will look me different when I reveal name of my team.
Yeah. Now, one more thing I want to ask you about, Tami, is the involvement of the youth in sports media in South Africa. What is that landscape like? Is there many youngsters coming up trying to do the same thing as you? Because I can say now, for example, in Namibia, the youth aren't really interested in sports media like that. So I'm curious, how is it in South Africa?
It's not in South Africa only. In the Kosafa region. You see, in South Africa, let me talk about South Africa. It's difficult for the youth to get into media.
Okay.
So if you can just look in, most of the people who are accredited by PSL, I'll be in trouble for this, but it's a truth. The PSL, they hardly give the young people a chance to express. Yes.
I didn't know that.
Even, you see,
even at like Disky Challenge and things, there's no youth.
There's no youth. There's no youth. It's a accreditation. You are given a lot of things you need to follow in order to get accreditation. Let me be honest with you. The person who gives out the accreditation in PSL, is responsible for the Premier Division competition, Betway Premiership and the Cup competition.
Yeah.
So It is his department, the Betway Premiership, it is his baby.
Yeah.
So most of the people who are covering NFT, especially freelancers, their accreditation are not, in these past 3 years, they are not approved by the league because they are covering competition, which is not his baby. The NFT, it belongs to someone else in the league. So it's very difficult for the youth to break in. The journalist, you either you are being employed by this big so-called Duma. It is key times now is coming now. Kickoff, ne?
Yes.
They come up with from those media houses. But if you are a freelancer, you are trying to find your feet. I'm sorry, it's very difficult in our country to get accreditation. I mean, I'm one of those people who don't even bother to apply for the accreditation.
Really?
Yeah, I don't need it.
Why even as we are today, you can get the accreditation.
2 kilograms of real good frozen mixed chicken portions for only $109.99. 5 kilos Tapsco super mix meal, $62.99. 500 grams of Romy 37% fat spread brick, just $13.99. And pay $34.99 for 750 grams U Brand original mayonnaise. You save where good food costs less.
People, ne?
Yeah.
The PSL, they want to control the media. One thing you will find, ne? Most of the famous journalists which are accredited, you won't see even a single one criticizing the league. Because they are afraid if they criticize the league, they will not be given accreditation. That is the biggest problem that we have with the person who is in charge with the application of the accreditation, the PSL.
Yeah.
So things were better during the LAX, the September was now with Kev. So the person who took over, he was nice in the first 2 seasons. But in the third season, he started to show most of the freelancers like me some flames. Some other people, they decided to even stop covering about the PSL because they are disgruntled the way they've been treated by the PSL.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the freelancers. Most of the guys which I found covering NFT, because as I said before, I was covering NFT. Yeah? Most of the freelancers are finding the system covering NFT. They are not covering NFT anymore because of those rules they are imposing against journalists.
Yeah.
Yeah, so young journalist, I'm afraid. If you are freelance, young journalist is difficult. I always get a lot of inquiries for people, ask them with how to apply for accreditation.
Mm-hmm.
To apply for accreditation in South Africa is for a certain group of people.
Mm-hmm.
Not for everyone.
Interesting, very interesting.
It's only, you only see the same journalist.
Yeah.
Every season.
Mm-hmm.
It's hardly to see the new journalist. How can we get a new journalist if the system doesn't allow them?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the problem that we have in our country. So they rather cover the UEFA competition or Premier League.
Yeah, no, that's unfortunate, actually. It's very unfortunate.
It's very difficult for a new upcoming journalist, unless you are given an opportunity by media houses like Kickoff, Sokala, Duma, this key time. This is how you get the accreditation. But if you are not known, I'm sorry. You won't get accreditation. So even the only thing what has changed in the past few seasons, né? We see a lot of new photographers. Né?
Okay.
There's a lot of new photographers which came to the system. The new Vino Snaps. Né? We got a lot. See? So that's why I must criticize on the other side, but I must recommend I must commend them when they've done very, very well. But when it comes to photographers, we've seen some new faces there. Mm-hmm. So, but in the journalist, I'm sorry. It's a difficult route to follow for the new journalist.
Now, Tammy, as we wrap up, I want to ask you one more question, and it's about Patrice Motsepe. What are your thoughts on him? What he's done for in South African football? I mean, we know now what Sundowns is winning the league every year because how much money they are getting there. But also, overall for African football, what are your thoughts on Motsepe?
Let us be honest. He has done very, very well past few years, but I'm from South Africa, but I didn't like the way he answered that journalist who was asking about, he was criticizing the CAF about this National League. Né?
Yeah.
I still believe he would have handled the situation better than he has done.
When you were telling him to keep quiet.
Yes, in all those things. So that one, it was low point for him.
Yes.
So I believe that he should have handled this differently. Mm-hmm. So the way he humiliated that journalist, it was uncalled for. Mm. Uncalled for. So that side, I don't support him, but what he has done in the past seasons, he has done an incredible job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think his overall impact, I think we can't deny what he's done for football.
Yes, we can't deny that. He has done so. Most of the national teams now, they will get more revenues they've been getting before. Because of what he has done.
Yeah. All right, Tammy, is there any last words you'd like to leave with our listeners before I let you go this evening?
What I can say? You. Okay,
first let the people know where they can read your blog and your social media pages.
So, my social media, Twitter, which is now called X, it's at Tammy Soccer, TMAI Soccer, it's one word. Facebook, Tammy Soccer, one word. Instagram, at Tammy Soccer 1, and Threads, at Tammy Soccer 1. Website, www.tammysoccer.co.za. Another thing, I also have a WhatsApp group, which I spoke about, which I update a lot of things there. Mm-hmm. Most of the competition which is happening in South Africa. Anyone who's interested to join the group, you can send me a message on WhatsApp. Okay. My WhatsApp number is plus 27 in South Africa, ne?
Yeah.
Yeah, plus 27 82 330 3456. Let me repeat again. 27 82 330 3456. That is my WhatsApp number, ne?
Okay.
So when people want to ask information, when time is available, I do respond. Mm-hmm. When you want to join the group, I also have a, what you call it, what is that? Instead, what is that? WhatsApp, what?
Channel,
yes. It's also called Tami Soccer WhatsApp channel. But okay. WhatsApp channel, it gives you a summary. If you don't want to get a lot of updates, ne, mm-hmm. you can choose the Tami Soccer WhatsApp channel. It's available on WhatsApp. But if you want to get informative information, you get them or the regular update, you can join the group, which is Tami Soccer.
100%.
Yes.
Tami, thank you very much for your time this evening.
Yeah, Hidi, it was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, brother. And we'll definitely have you on again soon.
Oh, okay, no, take care.
Sorry, brother. One more question.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about Shalulile breaking the all-time South African record? As a South African, I want to hear from you.
Peter Shalulile right now, it's a legend now. His name is one of those of the legends of the PSL now. It's like now, remember there was this player, Manuel Pukana, Tico Tico.
Mm-hmm.
So it was done very, very, I'm talking about the foreign players in the PSL. Now, Peter Shalulile, we are rating him like Manuel Pukana, who have done very, very well in the PSL. Collins Mbesuma is one from Zambia, is one of the legends who has done very, very well in the PSL. But I don't think there'll be another Namibian who'll be all-time PSL goal scorer like Shalulile. But we also got some legends. We've done very, very well from Namibia. Remember Robert Nusep?
Yeah, of course.
Mohamed Nusep, ne?
Mm.
On his days from Kaizer Chiefs, ne? But yeah. Now we also have now, I think now is coming, even though he's not a striker, Ryan Hanamap.
Yeah.
He's one of the... he can be like Shalulile, but for me, ne, but what he has achieved as a defender, except for Robert Nusep, for Mohamed Nusep, another legend, it's going to be Ryan Hanama.
Yeah, no, we've had a few guys doing well in South Africa. Hopefully, it continues. The pipeline continues.
Yeah, we know that South Africa is a greener pastures for the most of the players in COSAFA. Ne?
Yeah, definitely.
It's a ticket to be known to other leagues.
Like the likes of Dion Otto also.
Yeah, it's Dion Otto. Hey, how can I forget him? Ne? Dion Otto now. I remember he came to South Africa playing for Bloemfontein Celtic, ne? And then he went to Lamontville Golden Arrows, ne?
Yeah.
So now, what he has done in these past few seasons, hopefully, this season is going to win the league with the Orlando Pirates.
Yeah, we'll see.
He will seal his status as a legend. One of the players who won the league, like Shalulile.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, let us put our fingers crossed.
All right, Tami, thank you very much for your time, and I wish you a good evening ahead.
Take care. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you, brother.